At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Ty Burt, President and CEO of Kinross. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be talking about the combination between Kinross Gold and Red Back. I'm joined here this morning by Rick Clark, President and CEO of Red Back Mining, and by Tom Bolart, our CFO here at Kinross. Please note that certain statements that we'll be using this morning may contain forward-looking information and that we refer you to our public filings. Late yesterday, we announced the intention for Kinross and Red Back to enter into a friendly combination endorsed by the management and boards of directors of both companies unanimously. Details of that combination are contained in the joint press release available on our respective websites. Today, Rick and I are here to give you an overview of this transformational merger, to talk about our outlook going forward, and to take your questions. In summary, the combination transforms our two companies, creating what we believe will be a powerful, new, high-growth, pure gold senior producer with strong investor appeal. It's the result of extensive work by both companies over the last few months. Kinross brings to the table 8 operating mines, 4 high-quality growth projects, experienced exploration and project development teams, and an extensive corporate social responsibility and permitting track record. We have the proven ability to engineer, finance, construct, and operate large gold mines around the globe. Rick?
Good morning. Thanks, Ty. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, let me say that on behalf of my management team and board of directors, we're very, very pleased with this combination with Kinross. I think the addition or the combination of Red Back and Kinross brings a new senior gold mining company to the fastest growing gold region in the world in West Africa. And what Red Back is bringing to the table in this combination is 2 top quality West African operating mines, one located in Ghana and the other in Mauritania. Both those mines are relatively new mines and are growing extremely rapidly, both in terms of resources, reserves, and in production. I think that the Red Back management teams have done an incredible job, and those teams will be coming over intact as part of the combination with Kinross. So this isn't a situation where Kinross is jumping in to a new region without support. The Red Back operational team, both at Tasiast and Chirano, will be come into Kinross intact. Tasiast is obviously the cornerstone asset of this transaction. It is growing, I think, at a pace that is enviable in terms of mines around the world, not just gold mines, and we expect that trend to continue for at least the next few years, and we expect for much, much longer after that. Bye.
Thanks, Rick. On a pro forma basis, the combined company would produce approximately 2.6 to 2.7 million ounces in 2010 at very good margins relative to the current gold price. If we take a consensus of analyst estimates, production would grow over 75% from our Kinross starting point in 2010 of 2.2 million ounces, and the consensus estimate of combined production of approximately 3.9 million ounces in 2015. I'd emphasize these are street estimates. We believe there's significant upside from there. Our view, based on the extensive due diligence and technical work that we've completed over the past 6 months, is that we can outperform those consensus numbers. We plan to immediately embark on an accelerated exploration and development program to consider scaling Tasiast to a higher production level. On the deal itself, this is a friendly transaction. It is a plan of arrangement here in Canada that will be unanimously supported by both companies' boards of directors and senior officers. For each Red Back share, Kinross is offering 1.778 Kinross common shares plus 0.11 of a 4-year Kinross warrant that will have an exercise price of US$21.30 per Kinross share. Based on Friday's closing prices on the TSX, the last day that we traded on the same exchange, the offer implies a value of Canadian $30.50 per Red Back share when including the value from the warrant. This implies a 21% premium to the 20-day weighted average of Red Back and implies a total transaction value of about $7.1 billion. The transaction requires the approval of 66 2/3 of the votes cast on the Red Back side and the approval of 50% plus 1 votes on the Kinross side. Kinross will be voting the 9.3% it already owns in Red Back in favor of the deal. Management and the board of Red Back will vote in support, and we're expecting 5 to 6% on top of the 9.4 that we have supporting the deal out of the gate. Lucas and Rick are planning to join the board of Kinross. We expect to mail out the offer circulars within the next 2 weeks, and those will spell out all the details, including the dates of the shareholder meetings for approval. We expect those meetings to be on the same day later in September. The transaction is subject to typical conditions, including the usual regulatory approvals, as well as non-solicitation, right-to-match provisions, and reciprocal break fees of Canadian $250 million payable to Redback, or Canadian $217 payable to Kinross under certain conditions. We believe, in summary, that this is a terrific combination for both companies, combining a world-class ore body that has been growing at high velocity with an operator having the project development strength and financial wherewithal to accelerate the potential growth at Tasiast. The combined growth profile drives what we believe to be a superior investment proposition that should be attractive to gold investors. In summary, we believe in this case one and one makes three. Based on our models, which are well ahead of street consensus, and based on 6 months of hard work reviewing the potential for this combination, we expect the transaction to be accretive to our net asset value, and when the assets reach their full operating potential, to be strongly accretive to cash flow per share. Looking at the map on slide 9 there, where our operations and projects are located today, the key takeaway is that Kinross is focused on high-quality mines in some of the world's best and fastest-growing gold districts. Those are districts such as the Tintina Belt in North America, where our Fort Knox mine and the new White Gold property are located, in the Western Cordillera of South America with our substantial production base and major development pipeline, including the Central Craton of Brazil, and in Russia, where we've expanded our presence around the Kupol mine in an area that we think is a new high-grade epithermal gold district. The addition of two high-quality operations in growth regions of West Africa, complete with their experienced management teams and the assistance of Rick and Lucas at the board level, will be a great addition to our portfolio of assets in the potential gold regions, which I noted. If we look at what this portfolio of mines and projects can do, based on the equity consensus that I talked about earlier, equity analysts for both companies, we go from 2.1 million ounces of production standalone Kinross today to 3.9 million ounces of gold equivalent in 2015, based on street views. That is about a 75% aggregate growth rate from where we are today. We have a strong view that the assets we're acquiring will be able to do even more at their ultimate potential. However, until we complete the necessary drilling, engineering, and feasibility studies to make those projections 43-101 compliant, we're unable to provide those projections to our investors. What we can say now is that we believe the street is low on us, and we're envisioning a much larger project at Tasiast than what we can see here. Our growth will be to fast-track that work and ultimately to help the market understand value as we see it. Our geologists, engineers, members of the executive team, as well as members of our board, have made multiple visits to the sites and to the capitals, both before and after the private placement in Redback from last May. We conducted independent metallurgical testing, modeled various mining and processing scenarios, and even twin drill holes. To assess the full potential, we received third-party opinions on the geologic potential, the scale of mining operations, and a number of expansion scenarios. That's where it gives us a head start on a pre-feasibility study that we would like to release for the Tasiast deposit next year after we close this transaction and embark on the expanded drill and development program. Once complete, the study will allow us to share with investors the gold production schedule, CapEx, and operating cost. For the Kinross-only shareholders who may be less familiar with Redback, I'll go over the benefit that Redback adds to Kinross in summary. Two well-established operating gold mines in West Africa, with combined 2010 gold production expected to total approximately 450,000 ounces per year based on Redback's guidance. Growth potential to 1 million ounces over the next 5 years based on street consensus, and significant upside in exploration at Tasiast, where only 8 kilometers of the potential 70-kilometer strike length have been explored to date. There's approximately $275 million of current cash flow in Redback at today's gold price, and most importantly, a well-respected and accomplished mining team with extensive experience operating in West Africa. Post-closing, Kinross plans to immediately begin leveraging our project development and exploration experience through the following: expanding and accelerating the drill programs at Tasiast and Chirano, confirming the ultimate ore body dimensions and mining parameters, particularly at Tasiast, optimizing the mining and processing scenarios, and advancing our government and community relations efforts that are already in place using the Kinross Way, our existing framework, which is designed for our employee, community, and government relations at all our sites. And I should say, feedback this morning from the government of Mauritania to our respective Redback Kinross teams has been extremely positive in respect to the combination. Our goal is to complete all that pre-feasibility work in the first half of 2011. We've put some additional slides in the appendix to the webcast piece, which describes Tasiast and Chirano, as well as more background on Ghana and Mauritania. We do want to highlight on this slide 14 Redback's history of delivering resource growth from these assets. This speaks to the importance and potential of being well-placed in growing gold belts like this one. Since 2003, Redback has increased its 2P reserves by 800%. And based on the work that Redback has done and what we can see on the ground, we believe this trend can continue. Value creation in the short term for Redback shareholders through the 21% premium will be an upfront value add. Continued participation in the asset potential with Kinross through share ownership in the combined company, all those lead to superior leverage to the gold price through pure play, high growth producer. We think this does diversify Redback shareholders' exposure to two assets to across a portfolio now of 10 operating mines, and complemented the growth at Tasiast and Chirano with our own four high-quality growth projects. And finally, as I mentioned, Kinross expertise and development should be a very positive add to the combination. The immediate benefit to Kinross shareholders we've outlined on slide 16. Bottom line, exceptional growth through an investment in world-class assets in a fast-growing gold region. I'll summarize now on the last slide there. We are combining these companies to make a new powerhouse gold investment vehicle that we believe will have strong investor appeal. Why now? Well, Redback has done an incredible job of exploration and development, particularly delivering on outstanding resource growth at Tasiast. As we assess the true potential of these assets and our complementary skill sets, Rick, myself, and our respective teams realize that now is the right time to combine to move these assets to the next level. And as I mentioned, Rick and Lucas will be joining our board of directors to see that through. By adding Kinross strengths as an experienced large-scale mine builder with the existing systems and people in place, these assets will be able to see their next wave of growth in an accelerated fashion. There are three key points that we considered as we form this combination I'd like you to think about. World-class unique asset in Tasiast and Chirano, the transformational impact on both our companies that should re-rate the stock significantly in the wake of the deal, and a fair valuation with significant upside for both sets of investors. In closing, new gold growth powerhouse, which expects a steady ascent in cash flow. Rick, do you want to make a final comment?
Thanks, Ty. Yeah, before going on to Q&A, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Ty and his team for making this a relatively painless process. As Ty indicated, it's been 6 months of intensive due diligence. That has gone extremely smoothly with relatively little disruption to Redback's operational side. And I think that goes to show you that the combination of these two companies is going to go extremely smoothly post-closing. I'd also really like to sincerely thank my teams, my management and operating teams, for their work over the past 6 months and over the past 5 years. This is just the beginning, guys. We're going to go forward with these two mines. We haven't seen the end of the potential, nor have we really embarked on the potential of our very, very broad exploration package in West Africa. And we look forward to doing that with Kinross's teams and with a much, much broader shareholder base to provide value to. So at this point in time, I'd like to open the phone line for questions.
Thanks, Rick, and it's been a pleasure working together so far. Looking forward to the future. Operator, happy to take some questions.
Thank you, sir. Analysts who wish to ask a question may press star, then one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Once again, if you're listening via the live webcast and wish to ask a question, please click on the telephone icon and provide your contact information to be joined to the call. If you have a question, please press star, then one at this time. Our first question today comes from John Bridges of J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Morning, Ty, Rick. Thanks for that. The The crux of this for investors seems to be, the difference between what we estimate to be a need for 30, 35 million ounces of gold at Tasiat, and the identified 5 million ounces of reserves and maybe another 5 of resources. What's the sort of basis that you're using to assume that there are multiples of what's immediately obvious at the moment?
Yeah, it's a good question, John. And as I mentioned on the earlier script, we, can't disclose the, what we see as the future upside until we can actually verify it with drilling. But suffice to say, the growth velocity that Redback has delivered at Tasiast, we think that trajectory continues. We think the ore body is open at depth and along strike, and our geologic model, we hope, will be confirmed by that. When you add up the component pieces here, there's, I mentioned the $740 million in cash, the operating mines that are generating $275 million of cash flow, the current reserves, you get to a pretty high value. So the actual size of the value potential here, probably the difference between, call it, 4 or 5 million in value and the 7 billion we're bidding, should be allocated to that upside. We think the trajectory on those drill results can continue, and we think that the ore body will get a lot bigger at Tasiast and somewhat bigger at Chirano as well. We shouldn't forget that. So bottom line on all of that, we'll look forward to sharing those results as we get them. The trust me component of this is actually only a billion or a billion and a half of future potential value, which we're quite confident we can deliver on. It'll take us, call it, 6 to 12 months of drilling and further work to be able to spell those out in detail and to make them 43-101 compliant, and that's why we say pre-feasibility study expected end of the first half. If you look at it from a Kinross shareholder perspective, we believe that on our model today, this is NAV accretive to our shareholders. The cash flow accretion that would come based on, again, on our model should fire up in 13, 14, 15 in quite a dramatic fashion, given the low-cost production that would come from Tasiast. But I think you're right to say that the street consensus is one thing, and that's what we've spelled out on page 10. There's a significant further potential, both in the Kinross side, I should add, and in the Redback side.
Maybe as a follow-on, there's been some questions as to water availability and other infrastructure in that part of the world. How do you feel that you address that?
John, it's Rick. Look, water availability isn't the issue. Right now, Tasiast is drawing from a very prolific aquifer that is saline about 60 kilometers away, and the issues with water have been infrastructure, not source. We ended up with flaws in a second pipeline that we put in place late last year. That pipe has had some bursting problems. We are in the process right now of repairing that pipe, replacing the damaged part. And as part of the next phase of expansion of Tasiast, we will be running a new pipeline to the ocean, and that's about a 160-kilometer line. Pre-feasibility on that is almost completed. We expect, post-closing with Kinross, we will come up with a schedule for next year to start constructing that. That'll provide unlimited water. And what everybody should understand is one of the questions that comes up is using salt water from the ocean, is that going to be a problem for your process? Well, the aquifer we're drawing from right now is only slightly less saline than the ocean, and we've been doing all the metallurgical test work to prove that salt water will work just as well as this aquifer has. So we don't anticipate any water issues going forward, which is pretty unique for the Sahara Desert.
John, just to add one final comment, the street consensus is one thing, and a lot of analysts have been ramping up their work on Redback, but we've had the advantage of boots on the ground, geologists, engineers, planners, technical folks for 6 months of work, and the drilling data and hard work done by the Redback exploration folks has been tremendous. So that's why we have the confidence in our view compared to street consensus.
Okay. Many thanks, guys. Good luck.
Thanks, John.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from Judy Delgado of Alpine Associates. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I'm hoping you can detail the warrant. Is it anticipated that that will begin trading upon closing?
We would expect the warrant to begin trading on closing here in Canada. U.S. shareholders will have to trade and exercise through Canada, as would be typically the case in these kinds of Canadian transactions. It will be listed here on the TSX.
So the warrant will also be transferable as well as tradable?
It will be, yes.
And just a follow-up question on the regulatory approvals. Could you detail how the companies anticipate the West African regulatory process to go?
Yeah, there would not be any West African political approvals needed. The regulatory approvals refer to the Canadian Competition Act, the creditor consents at the various companies, and listing approvals from the stock exchanges for the shares and the warrants. We trade, obviously, NYSE and TSX, so issuing the new shares will require both exchanges to approve.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Greg Barnes of TD Newcrest. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Ty, I'm just a bit curious about the process and why you did the 9.3% equity interest in Redback a couple of months ago rather than not going ahead with a full transaction then.
Right. Good question, Greg. You know, we had a couple of beliefs. One, we were 3 months into the due diligence process then. We had a very good working relationship with Lucas and Rick and the team there, but we weren't done our work. And, you know, from our perspective as a $12 billion company making a $7 billion commitment, we wanted to have done all the work that we needed to do. We wanted to be on site in detail. We wanted to have political meetings. We wanted to have engineering firms do work. We wanted to have a very large team of folks convinced on the future potential, because we're plunking down, you know, as I say, $7 million worth of share value. So at the same time, we're cognizant that the street and the analysts were moving ahead, and we did not want to let that get too far ahead where we hadn't taken a share position. So at the same point, we reached the conclusion with RBI that a private placement and a 9.3% toehold would be a good starting place and a sign of our commitment and confidence, which I believe it was, recognizing that the market might trade us down and a little bit on the rumor. So in fact, you know, we feel that's a bit what happened, but it did give us the advantage of doing the very detailed and in-depth due diligence and having openly the meetings and technical work done, so that we minimized the risk and maximize the opportunity for success. And candidly, gave our shareholders a chance to see this transaction and RBI shareholders a chance to see this potential transaction coming. And the support we've received from investors has been tremendous. So all of those things together then gave us the confidence on the back of the work and the reaction to launch ahead with this bigger deal.
Thanks, Ty. Rick, did you run a full auction process on this?
No.
So there was nobody else at the table?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we didn't run a full auction process.
Might want to talk about our stuff.
Yeah. I mean, look, what's happened here is we've been in discussions, obviously, as Ty indicated, for about 6 months. Our view on this, we were pretty relaxed. We welcomed the opportunity for Kinross to come in and effectively give the good housekeeping seal of approval to what we've done. You know, it's hard for people to get their heads around, and we see that in the market, the potential of Tasiast and to look at the reserve growth that's taken place there. I mean, if you look at it on a statistical basis, we've been adding reserves at the rate of 500,000 ounces a month. And, you know, it's been a long time, I think, since the mining world has seen a project grow like that. And so I think there was a bunch of skepticism. You know, Kinross coming in and doing this amount of detailed work and supporting us, first of all, with the private placement at that level, and then coming in now and bidding to the degree that they're bidding, shows that Tasiast is real and the potential of West Africa is real. But again, I think the market has to understand, the focus on Tasiast is, you got to remember, when Redback bought Tasiast, West Branch or the Greenschist Zone did not exist. It is a brand new discovery on this 70-kilometer trend. And I can tell you one of our frustrations is that we can't even get a part away from the mine right now. I mean, all the drills that we're adding to this thing, 80% of them are focused on infill drilling the discoveries we've already made. We barely touched that 70 kilometers.
Okay. So it's fair to say, Rick, that nobody else has had the access or the level of detail work completed on these assets that Kinross has done?
And no one has done this level of detailed work, no.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Craig.
The next question comes from Barry Cooper of CIBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just wondering, Ty, if you'd be prepared to share any of the independent analysis that you've outlined in one of your slides there. What did you find on the metallurgical testing or the twinning of the holes or various things like that? I'm not sure whether you're going to be willing to divulge some of the modeling options there for optimum mining, but just what will you share with us there on what you've done?
Yeah, Barry, good question. Obviously, we are a little constrained there, but what we can say, a couple things very clearly. One, our drilling confirmed exactly what RBI has been saying in terms of the twinning, the process, the QA/QC, the very extensive work they've been doing. On the metallurgy side, you know, we did not find anything untoward and confirmed exactly what RBI has also been doing in parallel. So no surprises on either of those fronts, and gave us the confidence to look at a very straightforward processing plant, you know, for the longer term, and you know, confirm the work that had been done to date. So, bottom line, removed a lot of potential risk that one would take. You know, if this were an unfriendly deal and you were taking this kind of bet, you know, I'd say you wouldn't have that kind of comfort. And the bigger deals in our sector in the past have been unsolicited. Here we have a friendly merger, complete sharing of data, and absolutely reduced the risk from both sides, frankly. So we'll share that technical data as we work up a development plan in the future. And as I said, the pre-feas we'd expect to do by middle of 2011, we'll be able to share all that material at that time.
Right. Can you just tell me on the metallurgical testing, did you focus almost entirely on, you know, milling recoveries?
No, we did the full usual range. You know, what would be the optimum processing? What would recoveries be in a heap leach? What would milling? Bottom line, it'll be a, you know, comprehensive solution, including all of the above.
Right. Okay. Thanks a lot, then. That's all my questions.
Thanks, Barry.
As an additional reminder, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Our next question is from Don Blythe of Paradigm Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Could you just please clarify the wording of the warrants, that specifically if they're not exercisable by holders in the U.S. or U.S.?
Yeah, if you look at the press release on page 3, we detail there the terms of the warrant. You know, there is an initial hold period where they're not tradable until, you know, we get through the closing. And then after that, U.S. holders would have to sell or exercise through Canada, as would be routine, very similar to the Aurelian warrants that we issued in that transaction. So, you know, we don't see anything particularly unique, and there's easily effective ways to realize value for the warrants. You know, and on the closing, we're aiming to close this as soon as possible, as I mentioned, likely late September by the time we get through the two shareholder votes and the notice periods.
Okay, that's fine. Just wanted to make sure they can easily, the U.S. holders can easily sell.
Yep, well-worn track on that one, I would say.
Don, it's Rick. Yeah. And let me tell you that there's lots of advisors on this deal, and obviously this was a concern from our side, and we were satisfied in our the advice we got was that the fact that the warrants were not exercisable in the U.S. Did not affect the value of the warrant going forward based on previous commercial deals of this type. And so that's certainly an issue that our board addressed, and we were satisfied that there's no negative financial impact to Redback shareholders on this.
Great. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Don.
The next question comes from Brian MacArthur of UBS. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Can you just tell me on the current warrants outstanding, are there any anti-dilutive provisions or anything on those resets, or are they just all stay the same?
The current Redback warrants, are you referring to, Brian?
No, the current Kinross ones.
No changes to those.
Okay, so then when you say, and I know you're not going to give me all this data, when you say it's NAV accretive, are we talking, can you just give me as much as you can on when you say it's NAV accretive right now? I know you're not going to give me mining plans or whatever, but at least price, discount rates, and whether you're talking fully diluted or not?
Yeah, under both scenarios, fully diluted and warrants in the money or out of the money, accretive to NPV, and I wouldn't be prepared to share all the modeling assumptions like discount rates at this point, but let me just call it typical for our budgeting and NPV and acquisition scenarios. So, and typical for our industry in terms of discount rates. And gold prices that we're using, as I've said on previous calls, are not different here. We're using $800 for our reserves to date and $1,000 for our budgeting purposes and running those scenarios in both cases.
Okay, so you're saying it's NAV accretive at $1,000 then?
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from Anita Soni of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Two questions, Ty. Could you just remind me when those Kinross warrants actually expire? Your existing ones.
I'll ask Tom Bollard, our CFO, to speak to that one.
The Aurelian warrants have a term that expire in, I think, September of 13. We have converts outstanding, which have a term expiring in November of 13, and that really is the bulk of the securities we have.
All detailed in our public disclosure, Anita.
Okay. The second question is actually for Richard. Do you know, Rick, if this is going to impact the 10% the grandfathering of Tasiast into the proposed change in mining law in Mauritania, where the government is proposing to back into 10%?
No, there's no impact.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thanks.
The next question comes from Kerry Smith of Haywood Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks, operator. Ty, in your sort of expansion scenarios, are you considering sort of a similar style of processing option that Redback looked at, which is mill, dump leach, and heap leach, or are you thinking it wouldn't have any, maybe perhaps dump leach, and it would just be a larger pit and the heap leach?
No. As I said to Barry, we haven't detailed that yet, but we would expect a combination of heap leach, to get those recoveries. And a milling processing, facility. I wouldn't want to speak to the scale or sequencing on that, but obviously, oxides, heap leach, sulfides, milling, there's an obvious series there. The scale is what we have yet to decide.
Okay, but you're thinking probably not. You think you'd have dump leach as well, or
Dump leach is just for the oxides.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Kerry.
The next question is from Isaru Sen of Equinix Partners. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for the update. One question from a Redback shareholder's point of view. They haven't done much work on Kinross. Can you give a quick breakdown of what you think if the pre-Redback sort of NAV breakdown, maybe country-wise or asset-wise or however you want to address that?
Sorry. The split, if we understand the question, it's the split of NAV between Tasiast and Chirano.
No. For Kinross, the Paracatu, it seems like a big piece, but then trying to get a sense of the political and or country risk for the Kinross asset piece.
Yeah, roughly speaking, today our production would be 32% from the United States, about 24% from our Russian mine at Kupol, and the balance in Brazil and Chile. Our reserve breakdown, a little different. Our future is clearly, shifting to South America in terms of our future growth projects. It's about 79% of our reserves today in Brazil and Chile. We do have large new projects to complement our current 8 mines, and those new projects are expanding in Brazil, 2 new mines in Chile, a new mine in Ecuador, which is not yet in reserves, and an exploration project in the Yukon Territory of Canada. We've also just acquired a new project which is adjacent to our Kupol mine in Russia. So a series of expansion projects that will see our political country weighting shift slowly to further to Chile and Brazil. And now we've added West Africa, which would end up, you know, against a 2.2 million ounce production base. Current production from West Africa on the Redback assets, approximately 450,000. So give or take a quarter of combined production in 2010.
And would Paracatu be a bigger piece of that growth?
Paracatu, in a full year, with the new third ball mill up and running, we'd expect to produce 550 to 570,000 ounces of gold production against that, you know, of our, call it 2.2 base. So about a quarter from the Paracatu mine in Brazil. It's a significantly larger piece of our reserve. That ore body is, in aggregate, 18 to 20 million ounces and about a 35-year mine life. So it's a very large project for us.
Great. Congrats, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Asuro.
As an additional reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from Alfredo Ortiz of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. In addition to the production growth that you're expecting to gain from the Redback transaction, do you expect any potential savings or synergies from the transaction? And also, in order to double the production at Redback or the expected production growth from consensus from the current level to the 1 million ounces, what kind of capex do you think it's necessary to do so?
Yeah, so taking those in sequence, the whole, we hope, as Rick mentioned, we hope to retain the whole Redback operating team in Mauritania and in Ghana. Those are, you know, new regions for us, new countries for us, so we'll be looking to retain as much of the Redback team as we possibly can, and as we mentioned earlier, Rick and Lucas taking the lead on that by coming onto our board of directors, and Rick will be working closely with us in the transition. Bottom line in all of that, we don't see, you know, that we're going to be changing the staffing really at all. If anything, we'll be adding staff as we accelerate development here. And as is, you know, the case in entering new regions like this, we therefore are not taking a view on synergies. We don't think there's a cost that we're going to drive out of this through combining. Now, with a bigger purchasing base and procurement opportunities for the heavy equipment we'll need there, and Kinross, broader buying power, there may well be some synergies in the future, but we have not priced that into the deal. Could you repeat the second part?
Capital.
Yes. Currently, you mentioned that Redback's production is around 450,000 ounces, and based on consensus estimates, it's expected that it's going to go to 1 million ounces by 2015. What kind of capex is necessary in order to double that production?
Yeah, we haven't specified that, but that, if you use the analyst estimates for production growth, you might also use the analyst estimate for CapEx. An order of magnitude range would be 700 to 900 million to deliver on the production profile that the consensus shows in the presentation. Again, if we see an opportunity to expand that, obviously that's going to expand capital from there. And we, as I mentioned earlier, you know, aren't going to get into that level of discussion at this point.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes the Q&A period. I'll now turn the conference back to Ty Burt for any closing comments.
Yeah, thank you, operator. We just got a very positive report as we were on the conference call here from our teams in Mauritania. They've had further meetings with government officials there, and again, getting an extremely positive reaction from the state. Similarly, positive expectations in Ghana. So, these two countries, I think, are going to have a great benefit in the expansions in the future, based on the hard work that RBI has done to date. So, feeling very positive about the reception this morning to this transaction in country. And positive based on the reaction we're getting from our investors. We think we've built what we called a new gold growth powerhouse, and we thank you for your attention here this morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.